Pressure on Philadelphia City Council to vote on a just cause eviction protection bill will be ratcheted up at a scheduled rally tomorrow organized by Philadelphia Tenants Union. Joining me to lay out the case is Tenants Union supporter Peter Moskowitz, author of a book entitled How to Kill a City, Gentrification, Inequality, and the Fight for the Neighborhood. Peter, thanks for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Thanks for having me.
The Tenants Union has been a primary driver behind this so-called good cause bill. What are the terms of the bill?
So the bill is pretty straightforward. Basically, what it says is if a landlord wants to evict someone, they have to have a good reason, a good cause to do so. And those causes can range from things like, you know, destroying the property or destroying things within it, being a repeated nuisance to your neighbors, or, of course, not paying your rent or not paying your rent on time repeatedly. So landlords would still have the right to evict essentially any bad tenant that they wanted, but it would give a little bit more of a formal process to evictions.
How does the bill change the status quo?
Well, the status quo now is landlords can just say you're evicted. They don't have to give a reason at all. You're out on the street, you know, within the next 30 days if they want. This just lists specific reasons that they have to evict you. And if they do evict you randomly or without one of these causes, the bill would essentially say now you have recourse to say they've violated this law and you can go to court.
How does the eviction rate in Philadelphia compare to that of other comparable cities?
Evictions are, to put it bluntly, at crisis levels in Philadelphia right now. In some neighborhoods, up to 15% of people in any given year are being evicted. So that's 15% of an entire neighborhood being kicked out of their houses every year. They're higher on average in the entire city than in other comparable cities across the country. But it really is a neighborhood by neighborhood issue in these rapidly gentrifying areas and in really poor areas where people don't have stable jobs, stable incomes. Eviction is reaching these tremendous levels that you're seeing today.
So with that, let's bring gentrification into the conversation. First, a definition.
Gentrification, I think, means a lot of things to a lot of people. To me, it means cities becoming less and less supportive of poor and working class folks and more supportive of the rich and of growing capital, essentially. So cities become places where real estate investment becomes the major tool of wealth in the city, and that puts a lot of pressure on lower class folks.
Your book focuses primarily on four cities: New York, New Orleans, San Francisco, and Detroit. Each has its own story to tell, but are there commonalities that would also apply to, say, Philadelphia?
Sure. So in my view, gentrification can't happen without the government's participation, the city government's participation in it. In each of those four cases that you mentioned and that I cover in the book, before, you know, real estate developers descended on cities, before they bought up lots of real estate, governments essentially welcomed them in. They gave them tax breaks to buy up buildings. They slashed public fundings on things like public schools and public transit and used that money to attract development and new business. And whatever you think of that strategy, what I show in each of those four cities is that regardless of how the city is doing economically, there are all these huge consequences to that strategy. So Philadelphia is not Detroit or New Orleans or San Francisco, but you can see the same thing happening here where there's a constant budget tightening on certain sectors of the city and then a welcoming of investment on the other side. So you saw this with the recent bid for Amazon's second headquarters.
There's a telling line in your book, gentrification couldn't happen without something to gentrify.
I mean, that's how this works. A lot of the times, real estate investors are going into disinvested neighborhoods that have been kind of cut off from government help for a long time, from investment for a long time, and snatching up cheap real estate. And, you know, it doesn't have to happen in these kind of smoke-filled rooms. It's not people purposely saying, we want to disinvest in this neighborhood and then gentrify it. It just makes economic sense to take the poorest neighborhoods where you can buy real estate for cheapest and turn them into the most expensive neighborhoods.
In the course of your work, did you find cities where there are good cause eviction measures in place?
The entire state of New Jersey is probably the best example of this. They have good cause on their books. I forget if it's called good cause or just cause there, but it's the same bill essentially. And it does exactly what Philadelphia's bill would do. It just says there has to be a specific reason for tenants to be evicted. And I like pointing to New Jersey because it kind of refutes the point that real estate investors like to make, like, oh, we won't be able to make any money or the industry will collapse if you pass this bill. You know, New Jersey is a very real estate friendly place. And so it hasn't collapsed the real estate market, but it's given tenants a few more protections in court especially.
Thank you so much for shedding light on this issue on Newsworks Tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Peter Moskowitz, author of How to Kill a City, Gentrification, Inequality, and the Fight for the Neighborhood.